Morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, especially these weeks before Pesach. I'm sure very busy in everyone's homes, but Yasher Koach for coming. And we hope to give a shiur this morning, which will enhance your Pesach experience. Today's shiur is entitled, Why is this night different? A good question, a good title to have before Pesach. But specifically, we're going to zero in on this year when Pesach falls out over Shabbos. Friday night is the first Seder. Why is this night different? Why is this Pesach going to be different halachically than other years? And before we address this topic itself, just the scene of Pesach is one which obviously is a very busy time, even if you're not an accountant. Pesach is probably one of the busiest times of the year. So much turnover has to be going over in people's homes, whether you're staying or leaving, packing or cleaning, or both. And there's so many details that are in people's minds, what they have to do. Today's shiur, I want to, potentially add a detail to the equation. And this detail is relevant whether you're at home or at someone else's house. For some, in some ways, it might be more relevant when you're not at home, to really be able to prepare ahead of time. Just this past week, we had this beautiful communal azkara for Rabbi Sharfman Zatzal. His Yuritzite's coming up soon before Pesach on Yud Alef Nisan. And one of the things that Rabbi Sharfman did before Pesach, I know personally in his home, was that besides everything getting ready, he prepared, for the Haggadah and what the Torah to say, but he also actually calculated and worked out all the shiurim. He would measure how much maror everyone's going to need to eat, put it in the bag on Erev Pesach, and therefore for the night of the Seder, you don't have to, waste time, quote-unquote, measuring everything. He would measure everything for everyone ahead of time. He would measure how much matzah, put that aside for everyone. Right? You're allowed to measure on Shabbos or Yontif for mitzvah needs. So you would be allowed to do it there, but just to make the Seder flow easier. Okay, sometimes people in my family, we have charts and we have multiple and we give it out to everyone. And to be honest, it's a lot of the kids' fun. It's like measuring, their measurement. But there is something, too, to having things prepared. And what I want to talk about really is going to get involved with measuring the Dalet Kosos. How much wine, grape juice, for people to drink come the night of the Seder. So that's the issue we're going to get involved with today. That is an area why this night could be different. This Seder, this year, could be different based on how much wine you drink, which we'll see soon, might be very relevant what type of cup you use for the Seder. You end up in a hotel, you end up by someone else's house, they're going to give you what they give you. But it might be proactive to be on top of what you need for this year to come prepared. You might need to, might be smart to pack along your becher if you're going away. Or within your house, which becher to use, what size becher to use, is definitely very relevant. So let us begin in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tov Ayin Beis. So the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, writes, Shir HaKos, what is the size of the cup? 4 cups of wine. So we know we hawk about everything, right? The halachas of what type of wine. It has to be wine, grape juice, that's a hawk. We know the color of the wine is something, preferably we say it's got to be red. We could debate diluting, all different things, questions about wine, but one of them, the most basic issue might be, how much wine do we have to drink? How big does a cup have to be? So right over here, this is the halacha. Shir HaKos, what is the size of the cup? Revius la'achar shi'izmgu. Machaber says it's a revius, literally a fourth. If you're measuring, that's called a fourth of a lug, and we'll talk about what that is. After you pour it, imlotzu lemozgov, you're pouring it. V'yishta kulo, person has to drink all the wine. O rubo, or most of it. V'yish harbi revios, shows you menakol kach. Technically speaking, you're the one making Kiddush in the cup. You have a big cup. It has multiple revises in it. You could pass the cup around, Shirayim, and everyone drink from this big cup, the Stanley cup. Everyone drink from this big cup. Everyone drink from this big cup. Their revius. Now, obviously, that's a little trickier because it's a big cup. You don't know exactly how much to drink, right? Some might drink more than others. Okay, so practically, we definitely recommend people having their own individual cups for multiple reasons. There are those that say that it's not enough to drink a revius or a rova revius, but rather you have to drink rova the cup. You have to drink a majority of that cup. I feel maxa kama revius, even if it's big. So having the Stanley cup as your a big cup to do for your seder may not be such a smart idea according to this opinion, because you have to drink majority of that cup. You sometimes see people, you know, these biggest srogan, okay, you know, for their dalal meeting they like having bigger srogan, okay, assuming everything's good about it. But when so another guy, I'll show off my big cup. You got this cup, look at mine. Yeah, but according to this opinion, you got to drink the majority of that cup. That's going to send you, you know, send you to sleep too quickly. Yes.
So this is only an issue if the cup is more than two revius.
So, yes. Yes, I want to go through with the Chafetz Chaim comments in the Mishnah Berurah on these individual halachas, and then we're going to zero in on the size of a revius. So, firstly, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Chaf Zayin, if you want to know the size of a revius, you should check out his halachas in Hilchos Shabbos when he talks about the size you need for Kiddush. Okay, we're going to go there soon. Chaf Ches, la'acha yishim zagu, haynu delo b'ina revius yayin chai, a revius b'yacha imamayim shemozik bo. You'll need a raw measurement of a revius. There's allowed to be mixed into the wine certain measurement of water. Now, obviously, you can't dilute the wine too much. Won't be wine. You know, I don't want to get into, you know, nowadays they have these kal drinks, which are, now, I believe some of them are good. For sure, the light ones. There are some, you know, lighter. You know, no one says the alcohol level has to be double digits, right? I knew for years, it would be very hard for me to get through the Seder. And then after figuring out different things, realized, you know, my parents' house, they had, you know, the old-fashioned wines, which were quite heavy. Right? It wasn't Manischewitz, but it was like, you know, I've got my father's Matuk Rogue. My father had all these Matuk wines he was into.
Malat,
right. So you have these heavy wines that could weigh on you. So there is something to getting a wine which your body can handle easier. But again, this it has to fit within the range. Ideally, you know, it has a good amount of alcohol. Now, there is the position of Moshe and others that one could use grape juice. But again, you know, that may not be l'chachila. Ideally, wine is better. Now, the Chafetz Chaim writes, it was manehem in their days, shehei yayin chazak and ma'od. In times of the Gemara, those wines were really heavy. Hayimozin al-chat tlos. In those times, it was, you know, one-third water. It was manehem sheinos chalushim. Check out what I wrote over there. So the Chafetz Chaim is already adapting to times and knowing that there's a difference in how thick, how heavy those wines are. Yes.
It makes it harder for us because our wines are pre-diluted.
Correct.
So it's much less than
correct.
Water.
Right? Very good point. That nowadays, like the Chofetz Chaim is saying, our wines are watered down. So the amount of water now that you could add on top of that is going to be limited, because there already is a certain amount of the wine already watered down.
But you can always
yeah, yeah.
But it,
right? Yeah, that's okay. These things get trickier. You know, ideally, it's best to use wine. You know, once you're diluting, once you're doing different things, okay, but I'm not here to give share, you know, exactly how to, you know, I'm not being the bartender tonight. You know, how to mix for everyone's, you know, a lot of people on medications and how much, you know, 4 cups of wine, you know, if you're taking those daily pill things, you know, enough pills to fit in on the daily things, you probably have limitations in how much wine you can have. So you got to be careful.
Realize that when the Shulchan Aruch was talking about wine and dilution, the whole concept was that wine was made very, very strong, and everyone automatically, inherently, would dilute wine. You couldn't drink the wine undiluted, you'd get sick from it.
Right.
So the question now is how much you can dilute, and even in the Shulchan Aruch, how much you could dilute it so that it still has the deen of yayin. And
right.
Like Gerald said, today we believe everything for us, so it makes it a whole different ballgame.
Yes.
I know that Rabbi Semmel, between him and his grandson, figured out the system. Rabbi Semmel uses a minimum shear kos. Rebbetzin Semmel is in charge of mixing the wine and grape juice so that it's the minimum amount of alcohol to still be considered wine and not grape juice.
Yes, everyone figures out exactly what works for them, and it really is a personal thing, working out what best fits your diet, what you could have, how much wine. The Chofetz Chaim, though, does caution, v'da'ad afil m'shosi yayin chai v'chazak. You're going to drink the real stuff, solid, strong wine. M'kol malkum tzorch dafka revi'a shalem. You still need a full revias. Now, I'm not a coffee maven, but I do know there's such a thing as Cuban coffee, which, you know, you probably could find some around over here, right? Straight from Havana, right? Came by boat. But they have these cups, these little shots, almost like a shot glass of coffee. Now, they'll tell you, in this little shot glass is much more powerful than your big cup, your big Starbucks cup, you know. Us Cubans, this is the real stuff. But halakhically by wine, it doesn't work like that. You can't say, you know, in this schnapps cup is the most strongest wine back to the days of the Gemara. Sorry. Chazal say you need to drink a revias of wine. Not a schnapps glass, right? You need a revias, which we're going to measure soon what that is. And therefore, Josh, no Cuban coffee for the Dalakosos. You can't have a little shot glass. You need a full revias of wine. Right? Now, only for a Shalom Zachar and Pesach. The Mechaber said, of that cup of wine, you have to drink all of it or most of it. So, being good Jews, we should ask the question, all of it or most of it, which one do you want? So comes the Chofetz Chaim, he explains, Hainu kulu lechachila, ideally you should down the entire cup, or rubo b'dieved, or rove of it, really that's b'dieved, it's only second choice. Ideally, a person should have the entire cup of wine. Now we're going to put an asterisk to that, and we're going to come back, and we're going to see some situations might beg not to do that. Uv medina shayayin biyoker. Look what the Chofetz Chaim writes. Very interesting. In countries where the price of wine is up, right? I don't know whether they're going to qualify America today with inflation, but definitely the prices are up. I was in the news store the other day. I noticed how much is a pound of matzah. It was up to $40.
Wow.
Right? Okay, right? But, right? They had it there. Matzah, they had tons. Matzah imported from Williamsburg. Willie matzah, $40 a pound. Inflation, things go up. The Chafetz Chaim says he was cautious for these things. And he said that the price of wine is up. Afilu chachila sagi beruvo. It's enough if you just drink the majority of a cup. You don't have to drink the whole cup. And the difference between drinking majority of a cup and a full cup, it pans out. You know, one of the halachas of Pesach is mal shechitim, is providing food for the poor people who can't afford it. And, you know, you talk about things, you have to see how much they could afford. And part of these cheshbonos, you have to see, you know, the amounts. Chafetz Chaim is chash even for a person who's able to afford things, but it's expensive. Chafetz Chaim says, okay, you know what? If the price of wine is going up and it's expensive, then not just you could do a Rov Revius. He says in that situation it's l'chachila. It's the best thing to do. You know, to save people money. There's a famous story, I believe it was with the Beis HaLevi, where a woman came to him before Pesach and asked, can you do the Dal Kosos with milk? Famous story. And his response was not to answer her halachic shayla, but to give her money for Pesach. Because if she's asking such a shayla, it must be relevant to her. She doesn't have money to get wine. He gave her money for wine.
He gave her a lot more because he knew that she didn't have buster either.
So financial considerations play into the halacha. Achos revius, but the Chafetz Chaim writes. So if it's expensive, if it's rough, okay, just drink a majority of a revius. Achos revius yishta kulo. Here the revius doesn't mean the measurement of revius. Kos revius, it means the fourth cup. When it comes to the fourth cup, why is the fourth cup different? Yishta kulo. You have to drink the entire cup. The fourth cup is the only cup that we make a bracha achrona. We make an ala gefen after we drink it. Because the fourth cup you drink already after benching. So benching itself, we're going to talk about this also soon, goes on the first three cups. The fourth cup, post-benching, you're going to make an ala gefen. To ideally be yotzei, to have a chiv to make an al gefen, you need to drink a full revius. So therefore, the Chafetz Chaim says, the first three cups, you could have a rov revius, especially if the price is expensive. But the fourth cup, you should specifically drink the entire cup, not just a revius. No, that wasn't his chashbon. If it's too much for you to drink normally, it's too much, you don't have to finish it.
How's the fourth any different than the first in this regard, though? Because you have quite a while between the first and second cups.
Josh, excellent question. We're going to get to that. There, in general, is a certain discussion about should you make a bracha achrona on the first cup because of the delay between when you drink it till you get the second cup. You heard five manashtanas, 65 divrei Torah, a couple gematrias, and... you know, yeah, he's saying Dayenu a lot. So, yes, that's in general an issue, but we're going to see soon how this year... this year is going to be a bigger issue, your point. So, hold on. So far, what we've shown... So far, what we've shown are basics. You have to have a revius of wine. How much of a revius of the cup should you have? Ideally the full cup, but b'dieved the rov cup. If there's financial considerations, then even l'chachila, you have a rov of a cup. But when it comes to the fourth cup, there we say drink the entire cup, so you should be able to make a bracha achrona l'kulayama. Okay, that's the background. Now, the big million-dollar question is, how much is a revius? Right? Our cup that we have to drink on Pesach, our dollar the kolosos, our revius. It's actually a very easy number to remember. Four cups? How much you have to drink?
A
fourth. But how much do you calculate a fourth? And this is one of those great halakhic areas where there are many different shitas and many different size cups. And this is where people in the modern terminology like to flex. Ooh, how big a cup do you have? Oh, I have a bigger cup, you know. I got the chazon ish.
Question is, a fourth of what?
It's a fourth of a lug, but how do you calculate that? And you go through all these svarim, all these rabbanim, and their calculations. It's actually quite fascinating. If I was teaching a math slash science class, I think they should teach this in yeshiva, really to go through and calculate these things. It's not so simple. It really is a good hands-on lesson to measure and to take out things. So what is a revius? Great question. So I think I want to begin with a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Right, on the top of your page, Rav Moshe talks about the size of things. He writes, "Uvadavar midas a revius." In terms of the measurement of a revius, you do a shita tzlach. It's known the opinion of the tzlach, who is the Noda Yehuda. Shashiurim ufia etzpaos. In the times of the Gemara, when the Gemara would talk about the size of an egg, and the Gemara would also talk about a hand's breadth, measurement of a person's finger, so those measurements were equal. Okay, I'm not going into the exactness of what that meant. Uvizmanenu, shir etzbos gadol mishir abeitzim, orach kiflayim. The Noda Yehuda puts down in halakhic literature, in his days, the size of an egg shrunk. We don't have this too many times in halakha where we say that the mitzias changed, the world changed. The world from the time of Gemara to now changed. This is literally niskatnu hadoros, the generations getting lesser, getting wimpier. And literally the size of the eggs, right? This ain't your grandmother's eggs. No, it might be your grandmother's eggs, but it was not your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother's eggs. Already in the times of Noda Yehuda, okay, you can ask me exactly when that was, talking 18th, 17th century, in times of Noda Yehuda, you already saw that, 19th, right? You already saw that the shiurim were shrinking, and thus, you can't just simply go with the size of an egg. So, v'ayim b'chassam sofer sham, v'ashikasav alzeh, b'chassam sofer already continued, and spoke about this. Ha'kopanim, gam b'chassam sofer maskim, sh'revias, hu kli amax g'mayim anoflim, v'shlosh beitzim, revias is a kli that has water that fell from three eggs, v'chim tzarech anog l'naisa. Okay? Moshe gives a certain formula of how to figure it out. So what is the size of the revius, practically? So I'll give you nice, normal American numbers. I'm going to give four shirim what a revius is. The smallest shir I could find you is 2.9 ounces. The smallest shir, 2.9 ounces. And realize whatever number I'm going to tell you, that's the share of the full revius. To have rov revius, half of 2.9, we're talking, you know, 1.5, 1.6, right? Who comes up with such a share? It's fascinating. Two laboratories made the same experiment, and they came up with the same number. In MIT and in Oxford, no. They both came up with the same evaluation. To be honest, Rabosai, it was a greater chachamim than the people you have in MIT and Oxford. Who came up with the same calculation? Firstly, is a person named Reb David Feinstein Zatzal. He has a beautiful Haggadah called Kol Dodi in English, where he goes extensively through all the Shirim, and he calculated, and his number came out to 2.9. And more recently, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, with his Talmud, went through their own calculations, and they came up with a 2.9, and they're very excited that they came up with the same number that Rav David Feinstein came up with. So that's 2.9 is the absolute smallest share you could find on the market.
That's a very current stock.
Huh?
That's a very current stock.
Yes. Again, I don't know if we're going to start analyzing, right? It was brought up. That's a very current psak. You're right. You know, I don't know if the eggs are continuing to shrink. More and more in the Skatno Adaros. But that's what they figured out. They came to the conclusion, definitely for a person who can't drink too much wine, an older person who's sick, you want to have a minimum share. 2.9 is a share that both of them give. I'll just put one asterisk, you know, that Rav Shmuel says, really, it should be, you know, he would say Lemaisa, though, he would be more comfortable saying it's 3.3. Yes, shall about water dispensation, but he did measure Lakula, you could go 2.9. Yes?
2.9 is
fluid ounces.
You're saying is a
of the diavet. To rely on it, yeah. We're going to get to see soon, but I'm just giving out what is the minimum share to measure revias of how much wine you have to have in your cup? 2.9, which would be a pretty small becher. Yes?
So you have to reduce the size of the cup.
Oh, so we can get to that. Right? Ooh. I didn't put that Mishabura on it. Should have. Right? The Chavetz Chaim and the Mishabura, I don't know, I'm sorry I left it off, and Laman Gimel, we talked about the share of having Rove Revias. But the end of the Mechaber talked about drinking Rove Kos. So the Chavetz Chaim says we paskin with the opinion that it's Rove Revias, not Rove Kos. But he still recommended, ideally, why get a bigger cup if you're going to make problems in this other Shita? Try to get a cup more in line with how much you're going to drink. There's just two opinions. You either have to drink rove of the revius or rove the size of your cup. So if your cup is way beyond, if you're aiming to have person in Rachman and Son, you know, can't do a big share. So they have to go with the 2.9. Why get a bigger cup, you know, if you could get something smaller? And I've gone to stores and like measured cups, you know, gotten cups. My wife would send me to, you know, this one and that one. It makes it easier for people. And Chavetz Chaim recommends that.
There's a huge philosophical difference between drinking the Rove Kos and a Revis, even if the Rove Kos is already Revis. Because when you fill a cup and it's a Revis, it's 100% halach the mutter, but there's still plenty of room there and it looks shvach.
Okay, right. Look, every person has their own individual shilas, what they could do. I'm just first listing out what the shitas are. The second shita, I'll call it a medium share. If Shmuel says he has a masor for such a share, is a share of 4 ounces. Which would mean rove of that share would be 2.1. Shmuel says a common share, he has a masor of such a share, is 4 ounces. Okay, so we got 4 ounces. Here's another number. We got to get to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, in general, is known for a bigger shirim. Right, there's a few cute jokes about the different share of the Chazon Ish. Yeah. So the Chazon Ish's shear for Revius calculates to 5.1 ounces. Which would mean if you're going to drink rove of that, you got to go 2.6, 2.7.
By the way, I mean, if you look at most people's bechers that they use, without, or that they get for gifts, without even knowing it, most of those are almost exactly 5, or up to 5.2 or so.
So very good. I'm not ready to make a proclamation. I don't know what's going on in all the silver stores or the different cups and this, but was mentioned here at the share is they do think that a lot of the bechers that are sold, a lot of the bechers come from Eretz Yisrael, and the Chazon Ish is pretty popular. So the idea of having a 5-ounce becher, 5.1, right, is probably quite common. Yes, but again, notice this point. If you're going to have less than that, maybe you should get a lesser cup. And finally, the Chazon Ish isn't the biggest number. The biggest share, I got 6 ounces. Right, over that, you have to drink more than 3. Where do 6 ounces come from? Chassam Sofer, Kiv Eger mentions it, and I found recorded in the Sefer that Shmuel Kamenetsky personally tries to do it. 6 ounces. So you realize, look at the difference in shear. From the smallest shear to the biggest shear, it's double. 2.9, 3.3 to 6.1. Yes, sheer inflation. So this is the shitos. These are different ways of how to calculate. And again, I think it's a fascinating thing to go through all the steps, the conversions of calculating all these things is not simple. You might need an Oxford MIT lab to do these things. But Baruch Hashem, our Chachamim did it too. They tested it and they checked it. And okay, so you have different shirim. Let me spell out. These calculations are not because they had different measurements using the same formula. It's the opposite. They had different formulas. Depending on what your formula is for an amma, for an inch, for this, for that, will make for a nafkamina on the revius. It's not that they had, you know, this one did a better trial than that one, and they came out with a more exact number. No, it's what you put into your calculations, which comes out this result. But it's quite fascinating, the difference of opinions out there from 2.9 to 4 to 5.1 to 6. Now, the question everyone's going to ask is, okay, Rabbi, you gave me 4 shitas in what a revius means in your 4 cups, you know, and what a revius is really in general, but for sure for your 4 cups of wine. Okay, which one do I pick? So there's a fascinating Bir Halacha. The Chafetz Chaim, the Bir Halacha, and Simin Reish, Ayin Aleph, these are the halachas of Kiddush for every Shabbos. So let me read it a little bit inside. The Lamaisa Nira, practically, the Chafetz Chaim says, the La'ina Doraisa, how do we figure out what shear to use? And it comes to a Doraisa, what's a mitzvah Doraisa? Could go in Ksais Matzah below Pesach, when it comes to calculating how much matzah to eat. Bevari Yishlach B'Kedivrayim. When it comes to matzah, how much shear to eat? We should be machmer, because it's a deraisa. It's a biblical commandment. So we should go with a bigger size share. Thus, you find people eating a lot of matzah. V'chein le'inyin kiddush alayla, dikuru deraisa. When it comes to Friday night kiddush, which the basis of that is also based on a Torah principle, gamki nachan lacha shalachila, a divrei atzlacha now. V'chein mecham sofer machmer, gamkin. Ideal when it comes to Kiddush, you should have for yourself Friday night a big size Kiddush cup, not a small one. But when it comes to Durabanans, there the Chafetz Chaim says if it's just a Din Durabanan, you could do smaller Shirurim. What's an example of a Din Durabanan? Dalit Kosos. So therefore, normally we say, granted, okay, I have a scheme of things. I could go 5, I could go 6. How high do you want me to go, Rabbi? So I say, look, it's just a din derabanan. Dalet kosos matzah, marer, okay? Those we treat like deraisas. But dalet kosos is just a din derabanan. So you know what? Especially it's hard for you to drink 4 cups and this. go with a smaller amount. Go with your 3.3, your 4. You're good to go. Why go up to the 5s, the 6s? Just smaller share. But here's the punchline. That's good every Pesach, when Pesach comes out on any day besides Friday night. But this year, when Pesach is coming out on Friday night, and it's also Shabbos, Shabbos, the Kiddush you're making at the Seder this year on a Friday night is a Deraisa Kiddush. So guess what you need to have? A big share. Amazing. Why is this night different? Why is this Pesach different? All other nights of Pesach, you could have a small share for Revius. Because it's Dal Kosas is a Dindrabanan, and we could go with the 2.9s, the 3.3s, the 4s easily. But since this is a Deraisa will more Machmer. And therefore we should up from our level what we would do for a Drabanan. And therefore, yeah, 4, 5, 6s, all fair game. For this Friday night, just for the first cup. For all the other cups, all the 3 cups, you could go small. Right? This is a very interesting thing. We're already in baseball season. Right? No one says you have to have the same cup for all 4 kozas. I shouldn't say no one, but never heard of it. So you could bring in a relief pitcher, pun intended, right? You could have a big cup.
That's the size of a pitcher.
You could have a big cup for the first coast, and after the first coast, you could go small, because there's a din d'rabbanan. It's just your first coast, which is Kiddush of Shabbos, that you have to have a big share. The later coast is, you could go small. Yes?
The second night too, because we're making
Havdalah. So I only saw the poskim hak about this for Kiddush, not for Havdalah. I do not believe. So simple. Yes.
I recommend that you not use beer the second night.
So, right here, we already touched base with why this Pesach. It's something to consider, and it's important, right? You know, people have, you know, probably people have for their Dal Kosos, you know, they have a cup they use every year. And it could be at some point people, you know, realize, okay, I need to drink a smaller amount, so I have a smaller cup. But it might be a consideration this year if your cup doesn't have 4 ounces. You know, maybe you want to go bigger, you want to go 5. Maybe to get for Kiddush a bigger cup. Again, some people can handle it, but really that's the idea. Your Kiddush cup this year on Friday night should be the size of your standard Shabbos Kiddush cup, which, you know, there's, as we see, there are different shiurim. Does this apply to women too? The answer is yes. Again, you know, you might argue, you know, this and that. Look, depends on the situation, what they're up to do, what they're able to do. Every person's different. Men are different than women. Yes, I said that. I'm not a biologist. But, right? People are different. You have to see what works for people. But, Lamaisa, this is a halacha which is not necessarily so well known. This year, Friday night, Kiddush at the Seder, Alan, you have your beautiful painting of what a Seder looks like. You have to check what's the size of that cup in the painting. If it's a Friday night, the cup's going to be bigger. That's what you see from here. But now there's a second point. There's potentially a second Nafka Mina this year, different than other years. What's the second Nafka Mina? Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay, yeah, but that we always do. What's the second Nafkamina? Something that Josh brought up before. Hold on. What's the second Nafkamina? Well, It goes like this. Normally, we said you're drinking 3 cups of wine. Where's your bracha achrona? Your berachos hamazon. What about your 4th cup? So that we said you should drink the entire cup to get a full revius. Therefore, you could clearly make a bracha achrona, and you're good to go. But now, so normally every year, Josh brought up, what about the fact there's a hefsek? There's a hefsek, right? So one potential way around that, if you're going to spend a lot of time, like we said, going through the Haggadah, all the Manashtanas, v'chulu, it's take more than the time of 72 minutes from the time of Kiddush to your second cup. So then you really need to make a Pashup Shah, need to make a Bracha Achrona. So one Eitzah I saw Poskim give is the following. Don't drink your full first cup. Just drink Rove of it. Have a smaller share, which therefore may not require a Bracha Achrona. So normally every year, specifically by the first cup, remember we said L'chachila, you should have the full cup? But here's halacha consideration. If you know you're going to run into issues with the Bracha Achrona, then it might be best, maybe even L'chachila, to have Rove of a cup on the first cup. Therefore, you're having a smaller amount of wine. Therefore, that wine won't be enough for you to make a alagefen on. So you're good. You could have a nice long Seder. Let all the grandkids say the Manashtana. Everything is good. Hold on. But this year, since we just said your shear for the first cup is going to be a bigger share of the revias, it's not going to be a Durabanan revias. It's going to be a Duraisa revias. A bigger share for sure is going to be chayiv in Alagafen. And therefore, now you ran into trouble. Yes?
So if you drink Rove cups, are you allowed to drink the rest of your cup hour?
So that's one of the eitzos. 1 second. Not necessarily grape wine, because you're not allowed to sip wine. But there is an idea of sipping water. The halacha is, once you make an al-gefen, you'll have to drink water normally. And there's an idea, fact, that is the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He would sometimes sip water between coast 1 and 2. That would allow the clock on his wine to keep on going. And therefore, he's good to go. He doesn't need a bracha achrona. Huh? No, you shouldn't do it with wine. No, no. Shouldn't do it with wine, but one could do it with water, Shlomo Zalman says. Others are against drinking anything, even water, between Kos 1 and 2, and therefore they say that's not a valid option. Shlomo Zalman did suggest such a thing, but there are those against it. Rebbe Yashuv himself would make a bracha achrona between Kos 1 and 2 because of the hefsek. However, Shlomo Zalman himself didn't like such an idea. He said, once you make a bracha achrona, what you're really doing is severing the kiddush from the rest of the meal. He says, where's your kiddush b'malkam suda? You need that. You don't have that.
Which is especially important because how much karpas you really allow.
Right. Oh, so some people want to say the karpas can make a kiddush b'malkam suda. Yeah. Right? But you're right. You're not supposed to have so much karpas. So it's very hard to hear. Others try to dray that the Suda, the Seder of Pesach, is the Divrei Torah. You're eating those Divrei Torah. Some kids, you know, the grandkid gets up there, you're eating it up. But Lamaisa, that also is not a simple Eitzah. So to drink water, not so simple. To make a Bracha Achrona, not so simple. A third Eitzah. No personal questions. A third Eitzah.
But also,
I would do the third Eitzah if my wife let me. A third Eitzah. But it's not so practical with kids. Hold on. What's the third Eitzah of how to solve your Bracha Achrona issues? Go through the Haggadah quickly. Do it under 72 minutes. And you're good to go. People do that. Lamaisa, that won't work if you have a big family and people that need attention. and then so you're stuck. You really, especially this year, you're going to drink so much in that first cup. You're going to need a bracha achrona if it goes over 72. What to do? So I'm going to tell you exactly what I remember. I heard from a posek on this issue. No names. When I say a posek, it's by definition, I'm not quoting, telling you who it is. But I heard a posek said, okay, so what do you do? Rishon Mazalman's idea of sipping water, people not into sipping water between the two kosas. The idea of Rabbi Yosef to make an al gefen, nobody makes an al gefen. Not comfortable with doing that. It might make problems for other things. Zipping through the Haggadah in under 72 minutes. Many families, you can't do that. So what's the minhag olam? You do nothing.
Just let it rot.
That is, now, that's, I'm a little nervous saying it. That's why I didn't quote you who said it. It sounds very unhalachic. Yeah. Right, halachically, like, there's a problem here. Like, what's going on? But, yeah, look, this problem existed for ages, no? You tell me, in Europe, they always went through the Haggadah very quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. They didn't have lots of kids. They didn't give out treats to all the kids. Of course they did. So I don't know. It's a very good question. Very good issue.
There's this thing that happens in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. We're going to need Eliyahu Navi to come, drink from that fifth cup, and solve all our problems. Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zocha to meet Eliyahu Navi this year. Be'ezus Hashem, tune in next week for a shiur entitled At Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Seder. Should be a beautiful shiur.
Okay.
Thank you very much.